This webcast is made possible by the listener members of the Classical Network and WWFM.org. Thank you for your support. Jacobs Music Company is the proud sponsor of Between the Keys with Jed Distler. Information on any of the products or services that Jacobs Music offers is available on their website, www.jacobsmusic.com.
Happy anniversary. We now state emphatically it's happy anniversary. Not another day could be a happy anniversary. Oh, happy anniversary.
This is Jed Distler, artist in residence for the Classical Network, and welcome to Between the Keys. You know, I can't believe that it's really been 4 years since I first came to the Classical Network and started this program. It was something I've always wanted to do. All my life, I had wanted to have my own radio show, and in less than 2 years of its existence, Between the Keys actually won the ASCAP Deems Taylor Virgil Thompson Award for Broadcasting Excellence. Fairly recently, a musician friend asked, "How do you put a typical Between the Keys episode together?" And I said that I always try to come up with a theme or a topic or a concept for the program. And even if I don't come up with a topic, I still look for pieces of music that have contrast. I think a lot about, well, let's say the running order. I think about timings, which are crucial. And sometimes I miscalculate over timings. Actually, I miscalculate quite a lot. Either I will wind up with too much music and I have to cut something, or by contrast, I don't have enough material, and then I will have to add a piece of music, or I'll have to look for places in the program that I can add musical padding to, like, oh, let's say maybe 20 seconds of filler in between selections. It's like in the theater when you need to provide extra music to cover a scene change, or if a character needs extra time to make an entrance, has to cross the stage, then you vamp a little. You just kind of stretch that kind of music out. All of this, by the way, is exactly the opposite of how I listen to music or even interact with music at home. For instance, when I'm doing the dishes or I'm preparing dinner, I will often pull out a random CD. For instance, the other night I was listening to my friend Alan Evans' reissue of traditional Javanese gamelan recordings from 1928. That's typical dishwashing music, right? Anyway, I was listening to this, and suddenly my mind wanders over to, of all things, the coronation scene from Mussorgsky's opera Boris Godunov. You know, there does seem to be a correlation between gamelan and Mussorgsky. But you know, a similar thing happened when I put on another gamelan track, and that reminded me of a contemporary piece for two pianos. Dig this. Thank you. that comparison is a little bit far-fetched. Gamelan music bleeding into the composer John Maguire's 48 variations for two pianos. Actually, that's a fantastic large-scale piece, and one of these days I want to devote an entire program to the John Maguire variations. I think it's one of the great minimalist masterpieces that I know. But do you also think that the undulating melodic implications of this gamelan recording relates to the music of Wagner, specifically the forest murmurs from Act Two of Wagner's opera Siegfried? Is there really any correlation between these different musical worlds, gamelan and Wagner? Or is that just my musical stream of consciousness set on the random play button? Am I trying to rationalize something that I am basically intuiting? I remember a few years ago, I saw this video installation that featured a pianist playing Maurice Ravel's Piano Concerto for the Left Hand. And the video artist would overlap certain sections of the music, as if the music was being reflected in a kind of funhouse mirror. I was totally intrigued by the idea, and I couldn't wait to get home and try out this idea for myself. I thought that a Debussy prelude might be a good example to experiment with, especially Des Pas sous la Neige from Preludes Book 1, because it's very sparse to begin with. Let's just listen to the beginning of it. So I uploaded several different recordings of this prelude into my editing software, the same software that I used to create each Between the Keys episode. I monkeyed around by fading the various recordings in and out, or else I played sections of them simultaneously. Anyway, here's what eventually happened. This is just a little sample. Really should do is transcribe my manipulated Debussy recordings note for note, and presto changeo, I've got a new original multi-piano composition. But another way that I listen to music at home is definitely tied in with my radio life, and even more tied in with my fascination for comparing performances of the same work with different players. Now, I don't always play recordings of the first Tchaikovsky piano concerto for casual listening or to accompany my work in the kitchen, but on one recent occasion, my ears tuned into that famous octave passage toward the end of the final movement. And the first thing that came to mind was not, does the Tchaikovsky concerto remind me of traditional Balinese gamelan? No, but how does this other pianist play those octaves? So I wait until I can leave the lentil soup cooking on its own for a few minutes. Then I go and I pull down a bunch of versions of the Tchaikovsky concerto from my collection, and you can imagine I have quite a few with them. You've probably figured out that I have a humongous music collection, and yes, it is meticulously organized. So I started comparing that octave passage from the Tchaikovsky in different recordings. Fortunately, I had the timer on the soup. Otherwise, I would have gone on for hours comparing recordings of the octave passage. Anyway, for example, here's Philippe Entremont. And for contrast, here's Émile Gilels. Gilels seems to have the bigger and more solid sonority. But what about Martha Argerich? Aha, we get a higher dose of adrenaline with Martha Argerich in 1970, but let's hear Martha Argerich 24 years later in the same passage, live in concert. Wow, wow, wow. And in front of an audience, Martha Argerich really takes chances with that octave passage. And also, did you notice that she fills out the final octave with a chord? She did not do that the first time. Listen. But listen again to her 1994 version. Hear that chord? I guess that chord is kind of like an unwritten tradition. Now, if you think Martha Argerich has adrenaline to burn, you have not reckoned with Vladimir Horowitz in 1953. Goodness. That was live January 12th, 1953, Vladimir Horowitz. No wonder he had a nervous exhaustion shortly thereafter and did not play in public again for 12 years. That's true. But to change the subject, since our anniversary program always falls around the birthday of Johann Sebastian Bach, who just turned 334 years old, by the way, I thought we should have some Bach. If you picked up the March 2019 issue of Gramophone magazine, you will see my extensive review for their Record of the Month, which is a recording of Bach's Well-Tempered Clavier, Book 1, with the pianist Eva Poblotska. In my review, I wrote that Poblotska's Bach has everything going for it: pianistic resourcefulness, keen polyphonic acumen, impeccable taste, and an ability to imbue each prelude and fugue with a distinct point of view born out of musical considerations. Now I'm looking again at my review, and I realize I didn't talk about just the pure emotion that this pianist conveys, and how she finds the emotional core of each piece, and how beautifully she communicates it with heart and fingers, as you will hear now in the Prelude and Fugue in G sharp minor. This is Eva Poblotska at the piano. Thank you. Music of Bach from The Well-Tempered Clavier, Book 1, The Prelude and Fugue in G-sharp minor with pianist Eva Poblotska. This is Jed Distler, artist in residence for the Classical Network, and you are listening to Between the Keys as we celebrate our fourth anniversary. And a lot has happened since we launched our first episode back in March of 2015. Quite a lot has happened. That is an understatement. And it's more important than ever that I can use this program to reach listeners all over the world, to tear down musical barriers, and to build musical bridges where music lovers can come and go and listen as they please, without inhibitions, without any hang-ups, and without prejudice. Let's build a little bridge that links the pianist Ivo Jansson playing a Bach two-part invention in C minor with a great and almost forgotten jazz pianist, Lenny Tristano, whose centenary it is this year, by the way, and Lenny Tristano's improvisatory tour de force that he called C minor complex, first Bach, then Tristano.
Thank you.
That was Lenny Tristano, whose centennial it happens to be in 2019. The title of that selection was C Minor Complex, an improvisation that's actually based on the popular standard Pennies from Heaven, but in a minor mode rather than the major mode. And right before that was Ivo Janssen playing the two-part invention in C Minor by J.S. Bach. Actually, I had been asking some musician friends to make requests for this anniversary episode, and my good friend Dave Frank, who is an excellent jazz pianist and also one of the best teachers that I know of jazz piano, suggested that we hear Lenny Tristano. I've played C Minor Complex on this program before, in fact. As both a radio host and a CD reviewer, as well as a composer, I try my best to keep up with new releases and new music for the piano, but sometimes I miss out on an important release for whatever reason. So I was really glad when one of my Facebook followers alerted me to the pianist Sofia Sobaya-Vastek, who recorded a recent work by another colleague and friend, the composer Michael Harrison. Michael Harrison's work is highly influenced by traditional Hindustani music, and his piano writing follows quite a lot in the footsteps of his mentors Lamont Young and Terry Riley. Without ever being imitative, Michael always goes his own way. Let's hear pianist Sofia Sobaya-Vastek with tabla player Nitin Mittu perform Hijaz Prelude by Michael Harrison. music of Michael Harris in Hijaz Prelude, with pianist Sofia Subayavastek and on tabla Nintin Mitu. You know, as we were listening toward the end, my mind started wandering again. And, you know, the way that Michael Harrison's piece winds down, I couldn't get another piano piece out of my mind. Did Michael Harrison also have Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata floating in his subconscious? Do all of us composers drink from the same pond? I once used the Moonlight Sonata as a starting point for the title piece in a song cycle set to poems by the late, great Thomas Lux, who was a friend and a teaching colleague of mine at Sarah Lawrence when I was on their faculty many, many years ago. The name of this cycle was Haitian Cadavers. Haitian Cadavers. I wrote these songs specifically for a pop singer who primarily is a serious composer. Her name is Kitty Brazelton. And before we hear this song, Haitian Cadavers, let me read you the text, but I should warn you that it is not for the squeamish. Harvard, Yale, don't have problems getting bodies. Ditto, other prestigious medical colleges. But lesser schools sometimes need corpses bad to do their grim and vital work. You can't use one more than once. And Haitian cadavers are best for what cadavers do best. Lie still on the anatomical table for the will-be doctors to dissect. Once the import problems, practical, fish-chilling chambers of decommissioned fishing boats, legal, few precedents, are solved. The deal is good. The deal is visionary. $50 American per stiff. The supply solid, never dwindling, and the topper that makes it so smooth, a too true capital dream, is the condition of the corpses, so thin, all so thin, that the organs just beneath the skin, the organs yield to the blade with amazing ease.
Harvard and Yale. Sometimes need corpses. that the organs just beneath the skin, organs yield to the blade with amazing ease.
Haitian Cadavers, composed by yours truly, Jed Distler. The poem was by Thomas Lux. We heard singer Kitty Brazelton, who was a wonderful composer in her own right. I was at the piano, and you also hear me croak out one single line, "Lie Still." And that was recorded live in concert in 1998. Oh, wow, we were so innocent back then. But I wasn't young either. I was 41 and now I'm 62. And I still feel as if I'm 23 years old, except that when I look in the mirror and I'm 30 pounds heavier and on the subway, people keep offering me their seat. I remember when the composer Frederick Jevsky was staying over with me at my apartment. He was complaining how so many of his colleagues are acting like Peter Pan, trying their best to look young and act young. And Frederick says, "I like being old because you get respect." Well, not if you're Rodney Dangerfield. Remember him?
I mean, that's destroying my life. No respect. I don't get no respect at all. Are you kidding? No respect at all. Well, when I was born, the doctor told my mother I did all I could, but he pulled through anyway, you know? I mean, I don't get no respect from anyone. Well, last week, my house was on fire. My wife told the kids, "Be quiet. You wake up daddy."
Gosh, that reminds me of when I was in my early 20s, and I would take any job playing the piano. And I played a few times at a comedy club that I think it was in the East 30s in New York City. The club was called Good Times. I have to tell you, I never had a good time there, simply because most of the comedians were not very funny. I played for some of the best singers and some of the worst singers. I played in weird piano bars. I did all kinds of gigs. I played for 100 gazillion dance classes when I was young. Once, I had to improvise music while this very famous choreographer was creating a new work. And he said, "Jed, I want you to play threes. Play some music in three." So I start playing a waltz, bum, 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 one, two, three. He said, no, not like that, not like that. Okay, I tried a mazurka, one, two, three, no, that's not what I want. So I said, "Well, maybe could you sing me the phrase what you want, because that might be a little quicker and I can get what you're aiming at." So he starts going, "One, two, three, and one, two, three, and one, two, three." I suffered from my art for the last 42 years. You only have to suffer for the next 42 minutes. All the jobs I worked and the sacrifices that I've made, the humiliations I've endured, and all just to bring a little bit of joy to your vapid, useless lives. For 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, I've been doing nothing but staring at computer screens. I compose music for soap opera love scenes. I counseled suicidal teens. I've broken into automated teller machines. I played a dance class in Queens. I pack crates of Greek sardines, pick grapefruits and oranges and tangerines. I harvested organic Guatemalan coffee beans. I worked at a cart on 34th and 6th selling roasted pralines. I played a dance class in Queens. I served as Grand Marshal of the Village Parade for 3 straight Halloweens. I mowed the grass on Donald Trump's putting greens. I sold junior high school kids amphetamines. I kicked field goals for the Michigan Wolverines.
I inseminated 3 women by artificial means. I played a dance class in Queens. Modulation. I made cold calls for Ralph Nader when he was running with the Greens. I rigged dozens of Ohio County voting machines. In Tijuana, I sold little bags of Mexican jumping beans. I was the dolly grip on a picture that opened on 2,100 screens, Spider-Man 2. I went door to door selling mini trampolines. I worked at a factory that packaged lean cuisines. I won $100 for eating 12 pounds of pork and beans. I was a human guinea pig for syphilis vaccines. I played a dance class in Queens. I repaired hotel ice machines. Reenacted Civil War battles on village greens. Coached Miss America with her talent routine. I've operated on 24 ulcerated spleens. I trafficked opium for Afghani mujahideens. I was a roadie for the smithereens. I backed Karen Carpenter on her tambourine. I played a dance class in Queens. I designed a line of Thomas Kinkade figurines. I sewed belt loops on Rock-Aware jeans. I was special forces in the United States Marine. Semper Fi! I posed for pornographic magazines. I attended a strip club in the Philippines. I managed the ladies' footwear department at Filene's. I was personal assistant to Martin, Charlie, and 3 other Sheens. I played a dance class in the Bronx. I mean, do you have any idea what that means? Plie en one. Plie en 5. And stop 8.
Oh.
Fabulous.
That was a little live performance with yours truly, Jed Distler. That's my piano, my music, my so-called voice, and the brilliant words of Ed Schmidt. That was an excerpt from my large-scale piano theater piece entitled The Gold Standard. And indeed, I once did play a dance class in Queens. I played even one dance class in Sterrett City. I played 123 dance classes in Jersey City. I played 4,339 dance classes in New York City. And I played 3 dance classes in Lansing, Michigan. And who knows, maybe after this program I'm going to have to go back to playing dance classes. But I think most composer pianists did play for dance classes at a certain point. I know that David Del Tredici early in his career played for dance classes. I read that somewhere. Andrew Violette and I used to cover for each other. We would substitute for each other's dance classes. I remember I was once playing a piece by Frederick Jevsky at a concert, and the late choreographer Bessie Schoenberg was in the audience. And after the concert, she came up to me and she said, "Oh, you know that Frederick Jevsky used to play for my dance classes many years ago." This was probably back in the late 1950s, I guess, when Jevsky was in college. Anyway, I said to Bessie, "Oh, that must have been a wonderful experience." And Bessie said, "Ah, oh, Frederick played too many notes." Well, I probably played too many notes. Although in this next and final selection, I don't play too many notes. I would like to leave you with a souvenir from what was one of my most rewarding collaborations, and this is with the soprano Darren Zimmer. This comes from her CD release entitled Savage Nightingale. This is one of the 4 American Indian songs by Charles Wakefield Cadman from the land of the sky blue waters.
Oh,
From The Land of the Sky Blue Waters by Charles Wakefield Cadman, from his Four American Indian Songs, we heard soprano Darren Zimmer, and that was yours truly, Jed Distler, at the piano. Remember at the beginning of the show, I mentioned that I often miscalculate my timings when I'm putting an episode of Between the Keys together? Well, in the immortal words of Britney Spears, oops, I did it again. So we're going to hear more of the Well-Tempered Clavier Book 1 of Bach with pianist Eva Poblotska, and this is the Prelude and Fugue in E major. Music from J.S. Bach's Well-Tempered Clavier Book 1, the Prelude and Fugue in E major, and the pianist was Eva Poblotska. We've gone all over the place this past hour on Between the Keys, celebrating our fourth anniversary, and there's yet another milestone coming up very soon, which is our 200th episode. Who knows, I might do another totally discombobulated program like what we've been doing this past hour, going all over the musical map, tearing down musical borders, building musical bridges, and hopefully having some fun. Did you have fun? I certainly had fun, but hey, it's our anniversary. Why not celebrate? Okay, my time is up. I gotta run out and play for a dance class in Peoria, and that's a long walk from my New York City studio. But I do hope we will meet up again at this time next week for Between the Keys. This show is an exclusive production of the Classical Network and WWFM.org.